and welcome to another episode of Don't Shit on the Bus. I'm your host, Adam Omokaias, tuning in all the way from Los Angeles, California, for episode number 80 with my good friend, Chris Lent. Now, you might have seen Chris recently. He had a pretty cool viral video go around on TikTok where he was, you know, doing his job. He's a drum tech, and most recently, he's become more of a stage manager, and he works for the band Polyphia. And he'll tell the story of what happened on the podcast, but it was a cool video. We'll throw it on the podcast too. I think Connor found a spot to slot it in. It'll also be linked in the caption so you can scope it yourself. But in addition to being a drum tech, Chris Lent is somebody I've known for a long time. But like a lot of people I've toured with or met on the road, we've never really had a deep conversation or talked about how we entered the industry. And I was talking to him on Facebook. I was like, yo, hop on the podcast. Let's chat. So this episode was a little more relaxed. We just kind of talked about how we got into the industry, what he's been up to, and he's currently teching. He's in a band as well. He is a drummer for a band called The Villa. Check them out. We'll link that as well. Just a lot of good vibes. And he actually has a very cool story about how he got into tour. Kind of a rock star story. And I don't mean that in like a, it was just cool. Like, you know, he found a band, he was teching, then the other band was like, hey, do you want to be in our band? And he eventually ended up joining for First Last for a little bit. That was like, that's very cool. You know, some OG emo kid, mid-2000s touring. Well done, Chris. And thank you so much for your time today. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to seeing you in real life at some point. Of course, and always thank you to our patrons. Every week, you contribute a little bit of money. That money goes towards making this podcast possible. Got to pay Connor. Even Connor, good job. Connor's on the road and touring. Still crushing these episodes. Well done, my guy. Eva, good job. She's trying to start shoot a little bit more. She's still writing articles. Those are up on the website. We got to get photos going, Eva. Like, let's populate these with some images. And community, patrons, if you have any photos you want to contribute, throw them in the Discord. Be like, hey, this article, this photo would be a good one. But you got to give me your best. I got to be really cool looking. We'll credit you, of course. All right, our patrons. Thank you so much. We got three new patrons. Anybody who signs up, obviously shout them out in the podcast. Because they deserve it. Dylan, Lupe, and HD Gamer Lewis. I like that name. Thank you so much for joining the Patreon and contributing on a weekly basis. I appreciate it so much. All right. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Don't Shit on the Bus, and I will see you next week. All right. Bye-bye. Hey, Chris. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Freshly dentist.
Welcome to the podcast with your fresh smile.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Hell yeah. I was like, this episode is a little different than the rest because I don't have any show notes. I usually write a bunch of show notes. And I was like, I know Chris, but I don't know Chris. So we can kind of just talk and catch up and it'll be good. And the reason you recently appeared on my Facebook feed was I thought would be a good place to start.
The viral video.
Yeah, dude, you're the victim either the victim or the hero of a viral video, which I thought was really cool. It was like you're a tech lord or a god.
They're calling you a god.
God tier tech, man.
Just a good buddy, I think. It's just I cared about my drummer so much that I needed to get him through it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I saw the video. You guys were at what, So What Fest this past weekend?
So What, yep, in Dallas.
And you're working for Polyphia. Your drum tech or what are you doing for him?
Yeah, so technically stage manager, but I started as drum tech for them. So that's like me and Clay are pretty close in that regard.
Okay.
I'm like his dude, you know what I mean? And then we were just having like, it was reminded me of Warped Tour, like, because it was just 30 minutes, you know what I mean? Back and forth. But it was like showing up to the middle of Warped Tour, you know, Everyone's already tired. And they're kind of just like going through the motions and stuff. And I was like, all right, here we go. We're like dropping off all the gear on the golf carts and everything. So it was a hectic day.
And it was hot, I heard.
Oh, it was like 97 degrees.
Oh, as one does in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Smoldering. It was great, though. Because, you know, I like to sweat. It did take me back. Because, you know, I did Warped Tour like four times. And it was just like nostalgic in a way. I was like,
been trained. It doesn't get harder than Warped Tour.
It doesn't. And then so we go on a little bit late because we're having guitar issues. And then it was RF issues with the in-ear mix. And it was like cutting in and out everyone's frequencies and especially Clay's. And they're playing with like 808s and synths on the track and stuff. So you want to be like on with that click, because if you lose it, you know, your adrenaline's going when you're playing live. And like, that's just a hard thing to like really try and find. And he's such a technical, sick drummer. Like, it would be a nightmare to just like go by, you know, vibe, I guess.
That whole band is pretty technical. And I want to just break it, because I know it's very normal for you, but maybe some listeners don't know this RF signal thing. That's like a problem at festivals, right? That's a hard part of a festival.
Yeah, absolutely. So they sent us a list of the frequencies we were allowed to use.
Yeah.
And we're pretty strict on it. And so we didn't even like even question it. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, the RF manager has already given us a lot of this. We were just trying to get in, get out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No problems. And in a way, we got out with no problems, but you know, we just went old school, the human body touching another human body, just getting through it. It was weird.
Yeah. So what happened was his in-ear monitor mix wasn't working because the RF cut out. Is that basically what happened? So he wasn't receiving the signal.
Yeah. It was like sweeping, like just cutting that high frequency out. And so like everything's dropping all at the same time. So I tried to switch the pack. I was like, he thought it was the pack. And I was like, okay, we'll do that. And then I was like, maybe it's the ear, because his driver's in his ear kind of shot. And might have been a little bit of the ears, but it wasn't that. We changed his mix channel. And I was like, we're not going to get through this. And so I just like I had a little bit of the mix in there. I just like shoved it deeper in my ear and was just focused on it. I was just tapping, you know, just trying to stay on with it as much as I could. While his is just like flowing in and out. It was just, I don't know, it was a little chaotic, but, you know, I'm smiling the whole time trying to make him feel easy. And I think that, you know, that's like half my job. Just like, you got it, buddy. Don't worry about it.
And for people who haven't seen the video, like, or haven't pieced it together through our conversation yet, like, you ended up crouching down next to the drummer behind the amps next to the riser and with your hand kind of keeping the beat for him. Mm-hmm. It's metronome. Is that the right term? His click?
Okay. Yeah, his click
on his leg. Would you be able to do that? I know you're stage manager now, but would you have been able to do that if you didn't come from being a drummer and a drum tech? Or would you even thought of that?
Yeah, honestly, maybe not. Just because I just knew that like he would be able to feel it like if I did that. You know what I mean? I feel like if every time I tech for someone, I'm just think about it through my eyes, being a performer. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna fail safe this entire thing. All the things that terrify me that could go wrong, I'm gonna triple check, you know what I mean? And so that was like I'd be like, just someone tap me, I'll get through it. You know, I've gotten through worse, it'll be all right. And it worked. We fixed it final song, and he was like, can you still tap my leg? And I was like, you got it, buddy. Just in case.
What was it? What's his name? Just so I say this correctly.
That's Clay Ashleman.
Clay Ashleman. And after you did that, like, what was your guys' conversation after the show? Like, how did he feel? What did he say to you?
Oh, he was like, so I went into the trailer after that, and they were like, Chris saved the show. Yeah. Like, just thankful. And he's like, thank you so much. Like, cause I mean, we're really good friends. And he was just like, I love you, dude. Thanks. So I was like, no problem, man. Just making sure everything works good. Like, I just like, it's so nerve wracking on stage already. And like, I just know how that feels, like something dropping out. But luckily, like all the bands I've ever done weren't too technical like that. So I could just like throw instruments around and they'd be like, oh, that was cool. You know what I mean? Just like make it like a more chaotic movement, but he's got to stay on it.
Yeah. They're very like, almost like a math band to an extent, right? Like everything is calculated.
Yeah. It's hard to explain, honestly. They're just like a future sort of bit. Cause like that got posted to a couple like forums that were like math kids and stuff. And they're like, I say math. It's 4/4 the entire time, you know, which is standard rock and pop songs or 4/4. And I'm just like, you know, but you'd never, like most of these kids, you can't write this kind of stuff that comes out of their head. Like I would never be able to. I don't play like that.
Yeah, they're very talented. Well, how did it feel like as a stage manager, just, you know, walking into that room and have them being like, oh, you say, like, I don't know. I feel like that feels pretty good.
It was really nice. I mean, they're such sweet guys, honestly. They're like some of my close friends that, they're always just so nice to me that I was just like, oh, no problem, guys. You know, I got your back. And then, I mean, it felt good, but I didn't really process it because it was just like, I'm just doing what I do. I just help people out. I do that with, you know, like if I'm in a kitchen working, I'm like helping other people out. You know what I mean? I'm not like And I'm like, all right, everyone gets one. That's it. You gotta tighten it up next time. It was good though.
That vibe on tour is so key though. It's so nice having, you know, we had somebody last week who was a tour manager who worked closely with Post Malone, and we've had other people on who just work closely with artists. And the vibe tends to be like, if it's a good crew on tour, it's because it starts at the artist and they give a good vibe. And I don't know how big your touring crew is with Polyphia, or if that was just a festival crew and maybe a little bit different, but yeah, it feels like it. I don't know. That's a good vibe to have.
Yeah. We're actually pretty small. It's just me, TM, and front of house.
So do they all tech their own instruments?
No. So TM does like guitar teching and whatnot right now. And like,
oh, wow. Bulk.
Yeah. So I'm moving towards doing like, you know, major backline and the bass player and drummer now.
Okay.
I don't feel skilled enough in the guitar area to even want to. Tim was like, here's my new guitar. You want to try it out? And I was like, I don't want to ever play guitar in front of you, Tim.
I don't want to hold your guitar in front of you.
I'll play drums in front of Clay. And I, you know, I'm fine at drums, but guitar, I draw the line.
Well, that's interesting. So where, like, I know of this band a little bit. I know that they're like very successful online, but have they been touring their whole career? Are they newer to touring or?
No, they've been, I think they've been 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 years. Is that the right way to say that? 7 years old.
7 years old of touring?
Yeah. I think they started touring right out of the gate, but they had like a different sound. So they're lumped in with a lot of more technical metal bands in the beginning.
Okay.
Now their sound is really nothing like that. So it's just the crowd now is like just a mix of everyone you could possibly think. Old guitar loving dudes, like old dads to young hippie kids that just want to jam out. And then it's crazy.
That's awesome. What a cool market. So, I mean, because your crew seems like that's pretty bare bones for like an artist that they seem like, I'm not saying they should have more crew, but are you guys kind of in the process of scaling up now as they grow? And I don't know how long you've been with them.
I've done 4 tours with them, I believe.
Oh, cool.
But we're definitely like moving up. It's like been a slow, like we're doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's finally getting to the point to where it'll be like, I think we're going to get like an LD and, you know.
Yes.
And guitar tech. Because that would be great.
Yeah, it seems important for their type of band to have a guitar tech.
There's one tour where like their crowds are selling out and the venue is not giving us any security. And so they're a crowd surfing band. So there's just waves of kids coming onto the stage.
Falling on the floor. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, no, it's me and Hammer, the tour manager. And we're just grabbing everyone. And just like, for some reason, I only got like small light people. And he was just getting huge dudes just rolling towards him.
Were they in the, was there a barricade or these barricade lists? So they're just coming right to stage.
Yeah. Right to stage.
Oh, wow.
It was chaos, but
dude,
fun.
That's the old like Legion Hall vibes. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, takes you back.
Yeah, man. Hey, at least you have training. You're like, oh, all right. Back. Here we go. I know how this goes. Like, that's cool, though. Well, I think it's exciting when you're with an artist when they're in the stage that Polyphia is in, because you get to see them grow and you get to integrate new crew and you get to, I don't know if they're on a bus or on their bandwagon, but it's cool to see like artists in that stage. It's so exciting. And like, you went from drum tech to tour manager. Was that something that
a stage manager?
Excuse me, I misspoke. Drum tech to stage manager.
Yeah.
Is that something that you asked to do or that they just kind of, I mean, that's really how you get a different job on tour. You just kind of graduate.
Yeah. I think it's because just I talk to everyone so much, but I also know what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I would have just kept to myself and just like done the drums and kept my head down, but like on tour, I'm just like talking shit with everyone, every band, you know, all of them. Just because, you know, I grew up touring with some of these bands or some of these people. Everyone's so, you know, mixed up from over the years that I'm just like, oh, hey, buddy, what are you doing here? And, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, why is the drum tech talking to like, the singer of this band? So, you know, so it just kind of, they saw how I communicate with like stagehands and like the local crew at every venue. And I think it just kind of like, they were like, oh, he can handle this. Because that's what stage managing is. It's really just a lot of communication.
Making everything work together.
Yeah. And I don't shut up.
Well, yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's really hard to like, when somebody's like, I want to be a stage manager, how do I do that? You're like, well, you just have to get on the road first.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of get there once you understand everything. So do you think you're only able to do that because of, I mean, when did you start touring? How long have you been touring for?
I started touring when I was 17. Like my first official tour was 17. but I like dropped out when I was like 16 because of a MySpace bulletin for a band. They were looking for a drummer and it was off of the First to Last MySpace. And I was like a First to Last band. And I was like, oh, nice. I got this.
What band did you join?
It was called By Far the Least. And then it became Dead Reckless. It was just like very short lived. Didn't last long. But we opened a From First to Last tour, like probably like 5 months after I joined that band. And that was it was a big tour. It was like He Is Legend, Haste the Day. And then the second half was Chiodos and like on their first like big thing.
Yeah. And what band were you in?
It was called Dead Reckless at the time. It was like no one knew who we are except for like people that were super fans of From First to Last reading like their MySpace friends list or something.
Oh man, that's in 2005.
Yeah, 2006, 2005, 2006, one of those.
Yeah, no, I found, it's both actually, I found the dates.
Yeah, Dead by Dawn 2 was the name of that tour.
Yeah, started in Charlotte, ended in Houston on December 21st. Some good venues on there.
Oh yeah.
The Living Room, Pops. You're definitely, those are some small rooms, and then you got some bigger ones, like I guess the Troubadour. I mean, it's not really big, but you know, bigger. Yeah.
It's like 400 cap, I believe, something like that.
Man, that's cool.
Legendary. Yeah.
That was MySpace days for sure.
Oh, 100%. On that, so I lucked out. They were like, we need a drum tech. So you're going to drum tech for us. So I was on the bus.
For who?
For From First to Last, so the headliner.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I was on their bus, and that was like my first ever like actual professional, like, you know, gigging, like working for a band as well as opening.
So you went from opener to teching for that main support, or was it a co-headliner? I don't know.
Yeah, and, they were main. They were
main support. And then they were like, all right, you can ride on the bus with us. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they were like, we need the drum tech. So you're going to do it. And that's where I met my first tour manager who taught me most of my shit, Stuart Carmatz. I don't know if you have the pleasure of ever meeting him.
You might know his face.
He's awesome. He's doing Grizz right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Portugal the Man, Group Love. A Skylet Drive back in the day.
Oh, I might know him then. I gotta look. That's awesome. And wait, this was when First to Last was still fronted by Sonny / Skrillex.
Yeah, so that tour was Sonny.
Crazy man, that's real old.
And that was Wes Borland on bass from Limp Bizkit.
When I was looking at like doing a little bit of research on you, I was like, didn't Wes Borland play for this band for like a Warp tour? That is the weirdest thing ever. Man, what a fun bus to hop onto.
It was intimidating, I'll tell you that.
That was your first time on a bus?
Oh, yeah. It was my first, like professional venues, too. You know what I mean? I was just like, I was nervous, I would say that.
There were sandwiches backstage.
Yeah. I didn't want Wes to know that I was a fan of Limp Bizkit as much as I was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're so trying to keep iconic.
Cool. Yeah. Also, on that tour, like Mikey Way came out and played bass on like a couple dates, like for some songs from My Chemical Romance. So it's just like, it was just a lot.
Yeah, I mean, going from 17, dropping out of school, joining a band that's, you know, from a MySpace post, and then going from touring with that band to like, other than being excited, what would, like, do you have any embarrassing stories or fun stories from that tour? Like, I feel like there was a lot of, you know, I call them level ups, but like things where you go from like one level to like another level, and usually craziness happens when that happens.
I mean, I was just trying to look as adult as possible the entire time. I was like faking it till I made it. You know what I mean? Like
what did you do?
Just not be goofy. Tried to hide the fact that I'm a human cartoon. I was just like, I'm just gonna hold it together. It was weird, man. I remember specifically one terrifying moment was they were having me run the playback on like a old MacBook from 06. And it was for a new song they were trying out from their second record. Yeah. And Wes was like playing bass on it. And I'm like, holy shit. And I don't have, there's no ears for me. I'm just supposed to like nod my head and stay on with Derek and click the button right at the start.
Derek's the drummer, right?
Yeah, Derek's the drummer. Okay, gotcha. And it did not go well. And I think it was in Dallas or something. And I can't hear it. And I just like click the space bar. And I'm like, oh, please be on. Then I look up and Wes Borland is just like death staring, like, shut it down. And I was like, oh God, I've ruined the set. It's like, exit out. I just like, oh, the shame. Felt so bad.
Luckily, that was the second to last tour, it looks like.
Yeah.
Or second to last show day, excuse me. So yeah, you just could mess up and then get out of there.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. They. I mean, I think like that's their fault, putting the responsibility of playback on their new drum tech,
yeah,
with like all these people relying. So like, it's such an integral part of the live show. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of similar to the click, which happened.
Absolutely.
Why don't you just tap? Why don't you just tap Wes Borland's leg?
If I would have had, if I could go back in time.
Yeah.
Oh man. Knowing what I know now,
you'd be like Sony. You'd be like Sonny, DJ, go now.
Yeah.
Wes, back in Limp Bizkit, wear makeup, more makeup.
More makeup. You're both going to be very successful and happy.
Yeah. Man, that's such a cool, like, first bus tour story. And then, I mean, where'd you go after that? Like, I know you've had, like, a collection of being in bands, teching for bands, playing, being in a band, but, like, not being a photographed member, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong, but that's just
internet research.
Like, where did you go after that?
So the band dissolved, Dead Reckless. And I believe I moved to Macon, Georgia, and then was still talking to like Travis and like all my buds there, because we used to live together, like friends. And he's like, I want you to come out to Orlando. And he's like, just come live with us. I'll find something for you to do. And I was like, okay. So basically went to Orlando, and he had a project he was doing that was really good. And he had me play drums on it. And so I was just like, this is it. That's so sick. We're going to be huge. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Playing drums with Travis from First Last can be crazy.
You knew not enough to know that you didn't know.
Yeah I didn't. Yeah. No one will ever hear this project. And then they were going to record their third record. And then Sonny left the band. And so I became like a videographer in the studio of them recording like this album. And it was, I think we spent like a month in Valdosta trying to record this record. It sounded awesome. And then I have all this footage. And then they're like, we're going to LA. We got a new manager and a new label that's going to put us up in LA. We want you to come with us. And I was like, great. So I continued to film them out in LA as they recorded the record for the second time. Or the guitars, I believe. Then we started touring. I think we went on a Hawthorne Heights tour. And they were like, hey, we want you to fill in bass for two songs so Travis can just scream. It was like, I think it was the Christ Massacre song and then Kiss Me, I'm Contagious. So it's just Travis screaming. So he doesn't have to play guitar. Everyone switched instruments. And I was like, this is terrifying. I don't play guitar. Like,
so they put you on stage. This is your first time like with that band on stage.
Oh, yeah. And that's when I just started like performance arting my body. I was just like, I'm just gonna look as crazy as possible so no one sees the lack of skill that I'm putting into this bass. Yeah. And then that slowly graduated from there. So then they were like, hey, we want you to play keys, and like we just want you to be an auxiliary musician in this band, pretty much. Like, they were just giving me things, and I was like, I don't play keys.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of person that I like to be like good at what I'm doing, because I want to be like really proud of my work. You know what I mean? So like, there, this whole time I'm like in a battle with myself, like, oh my God, you're a fraud. Like, you know, you shouldn't be here. Just like go play drums somewhere or something. So it was a weird time, but I did it. Taught myself all those instruments. And
so you learned keys, you've done everything on tour basically and done videography.
Yeah.
You just learned keys for that gig? Is that what you did?
Yeah. It was terrifying. It was terrifying. And then we had to like, so I think like a year into me learning keys, they're like, okay, you're going to play Jimmy Kimmel. And I was like, oh.
With From First to Last?
Yeah. I was like, please turn it low in the mix. Like, I don't
know. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. It was terrifying. It's honestly terrifying. But the whole time, just got my head down, just headbanging, like trying to hide myself. Like,
man, I was looking up some of the old From First to Last videos. It's pretty wild. Like, where we were at musically as a scene back then. Like, it's so different.
Such a bizarre.
Yeah.
I was checking it out, like the old footage, like from these days, because I have like tapes and I've started to convert it.
I think
to
I found
digital.
Your YouTube.
Yeah. And I was like, I didn't realize what was going on really during that time, but that recession was, we're still in the recession. Like, the economy was shit back then. I was like, why are these shows, like, we're doing this huge stuff, but we're seeing no return on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're touring with Kiss. We're fucking, we're headlining Warped Tour, but we're dirt poor the entire time. And it's like, oh, well, the entire fucking country was poor during this time. We're trying to, you know, snake oil sell to these people. Like,
how long were you with From First to Last?
I think like officially, like on the page, and they're like in every video. I think like officially only like a year, if even.
Okay. We did a lot in that year.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I teched and then was like ox. And then they were like, we're bumping you up a couple tours in. And then it just like bumped up. And then we had a little break. And I was like, I have to focus on drums because, you know, that makes me happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's like what you're good at, or you can potentially get really good at, or even better.
Absolutely. I feel like that was the thing that like the most like conveying of, I can put the most of myself into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's where we crossed paths, like maybe fast forwarding a little bit, but you joined, or were you like an unofficial member of I Set My Friends on Fire, or what, or were you in the band? Cause they were like mostly two dudes, right?
Yeah. There were two dudes on the first record. And then I joined because Travis from First to Last produced that record, and he showed it to me on the last day of Warped Tour that From First to Last was on. And I was like, yeah, this is sick. I was like,
yeah,
tell them I'll be their drummer, because they need a drummer for live. And he told Nabil and Matt, and then I sent him like a couple of it. Mind you, I hadn't played in like 3 years at this point, aside like a couple hits on Derek's kit or something. So I went and just like really just tried to shred it out. And then I got the gig. Then I was like officially a member.
I just have like memories of you walking around a Warped Tour with your long hair and your I was like, oh yeah, that's Chris.
Yeah.
And now like your short hair and you got a mustache. And I had to make sure. I was like, did I make up these memories? Or is that the right person?
I was trying to grow a mustache. It just wasn't happening.
Dude, I don't know about you, but the amount of hair that I grow on my face and when I grow it, like I didn't understand how far of a range there was of that with people, men of different races, types, everything. Like when I was a kid, I just thought you get hair when you mature and that's the end of it.
I had the plastic shaving kit. I was like, you know, only in 10 years I'll be using this for real.
Yeah.
And it was like, nope, like 20, 25 years. I was like, shit.
It's crazy. You really have to earn that hair.
You really do. I drink a lot of gin and tonics. I feel like that was my secret.
Oh, that's how you get hair.
Well, yeah. Now actually, I don't literally drink, so it's all falling out probably.
It's a trade-off, man. You want hair or you want gin and tonics? You make the choice. Wait, you know what I mean? So how was it to like be in a band and be able to play drums?
Oh, it's awesome. It was so fulfilling, honestly. Because then, well, at that point, I was so jaded because just on the industry, not towards people. You know what I mean? That makes sense. Like, I was just like, oh, God, music industry is brutal. These guys that, you know, make the money off of it, they don't care. Because I had watched From First to Last just go through the ringer for so long.
Yeah, you had seen the back end or seen what it was to be in that. Yeah.
The dark time because, you know, Sonny had just left. Everyone left with him pretty much. But playing was so great. My first tour out was with like Fear Before the March of Flames and Alice Anna. And I had toured with Alice Anna before. So it was like old friends. So I just felt really comfortable and really happy. And I mean, I love playing drums live. I feel like performing live too, I get a lot out because I was like, might come from like love of the theater, I guess. Not like I'm doing anything theatrical, but just because I can like really just like shoot a lot of energy out of my, I feel like I'm just like releasing a lot.
And do you get that feeling even when you aren't playing now, just being part of the system that makes it like being a stage manager now, maybe not on the same level, but is it still rewarding in that way?
It's still rewarding for sure. Yeah. In a way I'm like an old wizard cultivating, conjuring a fire with them, you know, trying to make them feel safe and just knowing, you know, what I want out of a show, I feel like, and I bring that to them in a way. Does that make sense? Like the safety I want to feel, like I try to like, you know, I'm never negative around them. Like, oh God.
You've been there. You know what it's like to be on the receiving end and you kind of take all those things you learned. And I think that's why musicians are some of the best crew, because it's like, you know how we always talk about on the podcast, just like if you can understand what everybody's doing on the road and why they're doing it and when they're doing it, your job becomes so much easier and more effective. And I feel like you having seen the touring industry or touring from so many different angles allows you to go from, you know, just not just a drum tech, but doing a backline tech job to like a job that touches so many different people.
Mm-hmm. I love it, honestly. I mean, I love performing still, and I got like another band I'm doing right now, and I got like solo projects, but most of my thrill, I mean, I get my rocks off doing everything these days, just because it all feels really positive. I'm not in a bad place, and these people aren't bad people. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm on the right path, mingling with the right people. So we're all like building up together.
Yeah. You've got a good network that you're supporting. They're supporting you. You're kind of, it feels really good when all the pieces are in the right place and you're like, oh, this is moving. Like everything I do, like, gives me momentum. So you've got your own project. And then how often are you touring these days? And are you just touring with Polyphia?
So I did a tour with this new band, The Villa. That's Michael from Issues and Alex from Danger Kids and a couple other, like Woe Is Me, Kevin. And so we did a tour in last August, and that was my first tour since pandemic. Like,
okay.
Because, you know, everything was just,
yeah.
Were you aware? Everything.
Yeah. Whoa, tell me about this. I've not heard of this. What happened?
Yeah, so that was my first tour back, and it was a crazy feeling, but it was also like so familiar. I was right back to it.
Yeah.
And then Polyphia got a Dance Gavin tour they hopped on because their tour got canceled. So I was scheduled for November with Polyphia, and that fell through because Architects had to drop. And so we went, and they took the Dance Gavin tour, and it intersected with my tour I was drumming for, and I was like, ah, shit. So I missed that. So the next one with Polyphia is in July. So then we'll see where it goes from there, because they got new stuff on the horizon.
Yeah, a band like that, I feel like, is exciting and stays pretty consistent. Like, I almost, like, I don't know about you, but I like touring with artists that are like, kind of like you were saying, like, they're all helping each other out. They're not jaded. They're growing. It's exciting. And then I feel like sometimes artists kind of like settle down and become a little more negative or find these ruts. And I'm like, I don't want to be on those tours. They're a little depressing.
Oh, man. I've done so many of those. Yeah. Awful. Just those negative, like one person can like ruin the vibe on an entire, like the entire tour. Crazy.
Obviously, I'm not asking for names, but do you have some examples of like just some feelings or some things that happen? Because for people who haven't toured, it's really easy to imagine, I think, what it feels like to be on a good tour, right? Like everybody's in a good mood.
Yeah.
Bad tour, people always say one person can ruin it. What the hell does that mean?
That means like a lead singer shows up and he's just a prick the entire time. We have one guy walking around in sunglasses, like not saying hey to anyone. We're all trying to mingle and meet everyone. He's just like giving us like the cold shoulder because he doesn't know who we are or care, you know? Like, because there's so many people like that. They don't care. Like, I've gotten treated like dog shit by people that don't have anything because they think I'm just like a random tech on tour. And then they're like, oh, you're in from first to last? And then all of a sudden they're my fucking best friend. And I'm just like, all right. Like, I see you there.
Yeah.
First off,
it's not really the right
player.
Way to exist.
Yeah.
It's like it's like the worst way to exist.
Yeah. But then it's like, I mean, it's like any workplace. Like if it happens in a kitchen, like one person's just a negative little Nancy the entire time. And like everyone just like starts congregating over here and talking shit on them in a way. And that creates some sort of like terrible thing. Cause you don't want that.
Yeah.
Talk shit to their face. That's what I do. Fun. Humbles them.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Right. Well, the good thing is, like, I can't drop a name because I can't remember the band's name, and they've been around a while. And for the life of me, I can't. Just like
you let them check out.
Yeah,
you're like, all right, bad vibes, get out of here.
Emptied that recycle bin.
You keep referencing a restaurant or working in a restaurant, which I'm.
Oh yeah,
and I think you told me. Are you working in a restaurant currently? Well, not now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I just because you know pandemic, I had like stopped working in restaurants.
Yeah,
because I took a break from music, like. After me and Matt from my set had a little falling out while we were in Europe on tour. And I was like, I need to like figure out how to play and write everything by myself.
Yeah.
So that I can make the music I want to make and stop relying on other people to like hopefully make some music with me that I like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I got to take it in my own hands. And so I moved and did that. And so I had to get, you know, fucking jobs and kitchens and shit.
Yeah. You had to make a living.
Yeah. So like a kitchen managed a couple places. I mean, like smaller places. I'm not like a chef or anything, but
yeah,
I'd say I'm a pretty good line cook, which is, you know, pretty good. And so, yeah, I work at one off tour because it's good money and I like all the people there. The guys I work with, I love. They're all fucking rad dudes. Like,
and that's great. You found a job that can be flexible with your touring career. I mean, we get a lot of people on the podcast who tour for a living and they tour like on tours that are bigger than most things I've ever done, right? They're with 21 Pilots or they're with, you know, Post Malone or they're BTS or something. But I think what makes up the majority of the touring music industry are people in your position who tour with an artist or two and ultimately have maybe 3 or 4 months off each year and need to fill their time with something else. What's that look like? Like as a working crew member, what does it look like touring and working at a restaurant, and why does it help you kind of, or how does that work? I don't know. Talk to me about it.
It's I mean, it's cool. I'm a pretty chill guy, honestly. I don't really want people to know what I do all the time. I don't like go around. I'm like, so just so you know, before you talk to, like, I like being anonymous to a point. So,
well, you're fucking it all up right now.
I've blown it.
Yeah. You just fucked it all
really
up.
Really blown it. But, you know, like, I mean, most people will know I'm like, I play music and stuff. And they'll be like, oh, that's cool. Like, do you play locally? I'm like, no, not really. Like, you know, which is fine. It feels, I like it. I like having things to do. I feel accomplished when I go work in like restaurants. And fortunately, I live in Huntsville now and up in northern Alabama, which is basically Nashville as I talk people. And that's how I talk people into coming. Like, it's basically Nashville. So you'll be good.
Yeah. Huntsville. To Nashville. How far?
2 hours.
Oh, that's like San Diego. It's basically LA.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But number one place to live in the US right now.
Where?
On the record. Huntsville.
Really?
Saw an article. The gospel now. Someone printed an article.
Probably somebody who lives in Huntsville.
Yeah. probably. So there's a ton of venues opening here. We just opened an amphitheater, like 8,000 cap maybe. And then there's an arena and there's Mars Music Hall, which is 900 cap. There's a concert hall. There's like a bunch of like Sidetracks Music Hall, which is 500 cap. It's a great venue. It's a great hub for music now. And like a lot of crew guys live here off tour.
And then do they work at the venues and stuff when they're not touring?
Some of them don't need to, but they do. They make enough money. But, so like, you know, they'll join the union and go work all the stage gigs or just whenever they want. It's awesome, honestly. So I'll work like some gigs like that, not union gigs, but I worked at Sidetracks for a little bit doing stage stuff. And I just like working. I like making sure I'm not stagnant because I want to keep my create. I want enough money to be able to record music because I just love recording music and writing, honestly. So as long as I'm working towards that, I'm fine.
Do you hope to eventually just tour? Do you think that'll kind of take over eventually, or are you going to kind of keep balancing it?
Yeah. I have like friends that tour country and it's like they tour all year, but they don't tour like, 2 months
all the
straight.
Time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like weekend warrior.
Oh, love it. So sick. So if it was like that, I'm on retainer, that'd be great. Because I definitely, the most important thing to me is creating still, you know what I mean? But definitely more touring. Let's say like a 80% touring as opposed to me being home and working.
So you're trying to balance basically working, whether that means touring or at a restaurant or something else, with being creative, which I think is probably a balance a lot of people that work in the music industry have, because most people that work are musicians in some way, at least when it comes to backline techs or sometimes videographers and photographers, the jobs that are either what they would do or creative jobs, maybe not always like tour managers or people who are more admin on tour. But I feel like a lot of people are balancing those two things. How do I say this? Did you ever have problems with your ego at all when you went from being in a band to working for a band? Or is it just like, you just want to do music? What's your vibe?
Nah. Yeah, no, I'm just happy to be around the dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just love being a part of music in any way. It's fine with me. It doesn't shatter because I think it stems from playing in local bands when I was young. And then like slowly climbing a ladder of like, you know, I worked for all the gigs I was getting. I didn't like just like, oh, here's your first tour. It's huge. It was like that. It was like years of like, you know, playing the shit. And then after that, there's years of playing the shit, you know, I'm still on a Legion Hall floor or something. No, it's like being part of the school still. Like, I'm just like happy to be in class. It's like, fuck yeah, dude, wherever you need me, just put me there. I'll do my part. Keep it moving. You know what I mean?
And I know that you said you took a break from the industry for a little bit. How like bad? Because I feel like everybody goes through like bad situations, whether it be on tour or trying to get a gig and you don't get it. Like, how bad did it need to get for you to be like, all right, I got to take a break? Like, how did you know when to call that?
It was really, it was all like an internal battle of just like, I was just like being so mean to myself and drinking so much to get through it. Like,
yeah,
just like how miserable I was, just because I wasn't like, I feel like I was having an output, like, because obviously like I'm on tour and they're big tours and I have this output, but it's not the fucking frequency or the output I want that I know is me, like authentically, yeah. You know what I mean? And that bothers me more than anything in life. I don't want some sort of fake version or like bad version of me being read by people or heard or, you know, or seen. I hate that. Like,
yeah, you want to stick to your values.
Yeah. So I was like, I got to like full hard reset. Like, and I did. It was a real hard reset.
Yeah.
Took a while to get back in. But like, I mean, it was ultimately for the best. It was like, it was pretty bad. The alcoholism was up.
Yeah, I mean, when generally, like, I don't drink either, but it doesn't stem from a bad habit or anything. It just, I mean, I drink. Let me rephrase that. I don't have a hard rule where I don't drink. I'll have a drink once in a while, but it's not a result of like going overboard. And I feel like anybody who has had or, you know, lived a similar situation to you, it has to get pretty bad for you to be like, all right, I can't do this at all anymore. Well done. Respect for doing that.
It was a tough decision. I mean, I was still like, obviously, I started drinking during that time because, you know, you reach the bottoms. But late, for the past year, I've been completely sober of all of that just because I'm like, I don't need to do this shit anymore. It's like ruining. It's not me. Like,
yeah,
like I'm fun and loud and like everyone's like, yeah, it was a great time. I'm like, well, I blacked out and I feel like shame. I don't even know why I feel shame, but that's not working for me. So.
Yeah, you have to take care of yourself too. And I feel like touring these days is a lot more healthy than it was in the early 2000s. 100%. And I even think by comparison, I'm sure way more healthy than it was in the 90s, 80s, 70s. But like when you go on tour now, is it pretty easy to maintain no drinking or is it tempting? I don't know. A lot of people drink on tour too.
Honestly, working in a restaurant, that's where like the real battle of not drinking is. God. Because that's all you do after work. If like, you know, you get fucked by people all day and then you're like, all right, let's go have a drink. So if I can survive that without wanting to do it at all, touring's a breeze because I'm just like, I'll just go to the bus and not be around. I'm just sick of crippling shame. So I just remember that feeling and I never do it. Pretty easy, honestly.
Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, yeah, I feel like it's similar to Warped Tour and touring where it's like, I mean, if you've done Warped Tour, you can do So What Festival for a day and it's not that hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that hard.
100%. It was a breeze.
I'm trying to think, and I'm thinking out loud to you, where to take the conversation next. I like where we've gone so far.
Yeah, I've been having a good time.
Yeah.
Just let me know if I'm talking too much, but I think the whole point of this is to talk. So.
No, the whole point is to talk. Like, sometimes I'll have people on here, and they'll, like I'll say almost nothing, because they just have stories, you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. Like, I don't know about you, but... one thing I do love about touring with any artist is meeting all the different crew members because, and you can, I'm pretty sure agree with me on this. Crew members are in the game so much longer than any of the artists.
100%. That's why they don't take any shit.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, whatever, kid.
Yeah. Like how important do you think it is to get on the road? And like, I feel like a lot of people are like, all right, I need to be friends with the band. I need to make friends with the band, but bands come and go like every 10 years or so, or even less most of the time. Sometimes, yeah, bands are around for your whole lifetime. I mean, obviously, there's artists like that. But how important have your relationships been with all the crew members you meet on the road?
Like, me personally, like, I just love being friends with, like, pretty much everyone. But yeah. I keep, like, doesn't matter. Musician, crew, just random, like, fan that comes out. And it's like, yeah, we like, had a beer together once. I'm like, oh, what's up, brother? I am, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I try to keep all my relationships pretty, like, I want people to have a good time. I just like people to be happy. But I've seen people just piss off crew. And for the rest of that, that crew member will just be like, move it down the network. And then you'll never have like a good crew again. You know what I mean? Like these old like 80s bands that just like run through, like have terrible track records. They're like, oh, dude, monster to work with. And no one will work with you. And they just get like a new kid that's never done it before. And then they just keep changing out these new kids. And it's just like, well, dude, there's a reason. Your personality. Yeah. You're a giant dickhead. Like, I get that you, like, the audience puts musicians on a pedestal, but it doesn't exist. Like, if COVID didn't teach you anything, there's no sort of tier towards humanity. Like, no one exists on a higher level except corporations. That's it. There's corporations and then there's the rest of us. So I don't understand egos. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that vibe with touring crew, and I think that's really the crew that sticks around. Or, you know, they're all friends with each other, and it's nothing better than going out to a show and like being like, oh, hey, what's up, every person that I know here, and they're all happy to see you, and you just kind of feel at home. And yeah, that's a great vibe to have. I think that stage manager is a perfect gig for you. It sounds like that fits your personality pretty well.
I think everything's falling into place, man.
I'm sure you've been on a Limp Bizkit stage and seen how they treat guests, or if you haven't, like,
I have. People, I wish
they have like bars on stage. They like it depends on like what Wes Borland's theme is, but like when he was dressing up, oh man, I don't know what it was, but he had like pineapples and stuff, and he would serve drinks on stage in pineapples to everybody watching.
So cool.
You've got like, I feel like you can get pretty creative with the stage manager thing. Like you could probably implement some of that stuff now that you have a little more. Yeah. What are you going to do? It's a good band to do it for too. I feel like you could get creative.
Yeah. Oh man. Definitely a little sofa area, couple chill drinks, you know. Of course it's a dry bar. It's sober. We're not having a bunch of sloshed up fans on there. I'd love to have a kiddie pool. I hope Polyphia just plays beach festivals soon so I can just have water slides nearby, honestly.
Yeah. Can they play anything? Because they're no longer metal, you said, right? They're just a music band, I guess you would say.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like if I were walking at a festival and I heard the wheedly deedling and the fucking drum fills coming from the distance, I'd be like, I got to go check this out.
Take me to the stage.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah, I'm thinking like the side stage vibe needs to be, I think kiddie pool is great. Something to just sit on and take your shoes off and put your feet in will be so nice because, yeah, they're like, you can do anything with that band. They don't have like they're cool looking. It's like three long haired dudes and then like a guy with a neck tat that's like pretty good looking. And
it's
I was like,
an anime character.
Yeah, dude, I was like, damn, this band's got like, they're pretty real. Like, I would not, this band's sick.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're like just rad dudes, honestly. Fucking bizarre.
Would they put anything? Yeah. Would they give you free reign to you to think like, you know, be stage manager and get a little custom with the stage there?
I mean, I sure hope so. I mean, okay. So I have the opposite of being accommodating as a story.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
I won't say names.
Sounds like it's going to be a not positive story.
I think he was in jail. He's in jail now. So that's the kind of guy this guy is.
I think I can name the band. from the UK.
No, he was a friend of the band.
Damn it. Damn it.
Yeah. So this guy is on the stage at the Atlanta gig. We're on Issues Tour. This is like the last tour before COVID.
And you're with what band?
With Polyphia. Okay. So I'm working for Polyphia and I'm on the side of the stage and he's just like walking practically on the stage, like climbing in between the amps, like taking photos. And I'm like, hey, buddy, like, let's move you back. And he like gives me this like look. And he moves and then he starts walking towards the other side and doing the same shit, like walking in the fucking like the set, essentially. Like,
yeah, it's like you're seen right now. You're being seen.
Yeah. I really need you to fuck off to over here. But I was being nice. I was like, hey,
were
just
they wearing
please
white
move over here. It was right after I got done with them.
Oh, God.
And yeah, he's just being a dick at this point. He's like, I'm here with the headliner. And I was like, oh, so you got a pass? And he's like, no. And I was like, well, if you're going to stand on my stage, I need you to get a pass. Like, so just run over there and get one. And he's like, do you know who the fuck I am? I'm like, dude, I could give two shits who the fuck
you are.
Never
gets you anywhere good.
And then he was like, basically like, fuck you. I'm not getting off the stage. And I was the whole time, I was just trying to move him away from being on the stage.
Yeah, you don't want him to like leave the venue. You're like, you just need to move a few feet.
Just move backwards. And then this guy, like, he's like, fuck you. And so I was like, all right, let's go. And like grabbed his shoulder and was like trying to push him off stage. And he starts grappling with me. And I was like, oh, here we go. And then he said, we're, you know, wrestling. I'm like, dude, chill the fuck out. And I get him to this door and my buddy AB comes and like sees this dude trying to fight me and like holds him from behind and we get him out. And he's like, fuck you, you know who the fuck I am. And then like finally get him out there and he swings towards AB. And so I just popped him in the face once. Not hard, you know, just like stop.
Like a settle like, down punch. Yeah, like,
I'm
hey,
not,
all right.
I'm not a violent person. I hate it. Yeah. Like I was just like, what are you doing, dude? He's just screaming. And apparently, like he wanted to get like he went and tried to go get his gun after security, like kicked him out. Wow. This dude's a maniac. Like,
yeah, sounds it.
And the funny part of this story really is the fact that I did know who it was because I had toured with him twice. I just did not recognize him. He was a tour manager of like this band and they had fired him because he was like such a dick and was stealing money from him and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, dude. Then my other boy, Jason Mays, was on stage. He's like, yo, dude, that guy's a racist, too. So I'm really glad you kicked him off stage. I was like, well, you know, just doing the Lord's work.
That is crazy.
It was
like,
bizarre.
Okay. And now that you're a stage manager, like what can people do who are maybe like, I'm sure we have listeners to the show who are going to be guests at other people's shows and they want to be on stage to watch, you know, because it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
What can you do to like be a good guest? So like, I mean, it's pretty obvious what you can do to be a bad guest, but what can you do to be a good guest on somebody's
stage? Honestly, just like know that there's a crew walking around. Like, I feel like it's like, just like being in public and like you don't like just stand in the middle of the aisle and just like not listen to people or acknowledge that they're coming by. It's just like, just know where you can stand. Like, don't stand in front of the guitar tech case while we're changing guitars or even before that. You know, you're not supposed to climb over the drum riser and get a photo. It's like, just if you need to ask the tech, just be like, anyone can look at me and be like, hey, can I stand right here? And I'll be like, yeah, man, that's cool. Just stay over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So chill with that. Like, I want you to have a good time. The whole point of the band playing live is to see them. Like, I get that. I'm not a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He crossed the line.
When's the best time for them to like, for somebody who maybe isn't used to being at shows, like how can they tell when you're not busy? Like, is it blatantly obvious or is there anything you should look out for? Like, oh, that stage manager is like really working right now. I should maybe wait a moment.
Oh yeah. So like if that band's not on stage and they're about to go on stage, you don't be anywhere near that stage. Just stay in the back, like hidden, like just like let us get the show rolling. And then you got free reign to like go stand on the side. I feel like it should be common sense to some, but like I see it all the time. Like, dude, I mean, think about Warped Tour. They just line those kids on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
It's like a guitar tech will be trying to get something and they're just like still standing there, like just staring at the singer. You're like, what are you doing? Like, there's other members of this band and they need the equipment.
Guitar coming through. Yeah. I actually had like, I'm going to share a story with you. So come on the podcast. I'll talk to you. But no, I went to a show, my first show I'd ever been to in a really long time since COVID. I went to a John Mayer show in Boston like 3 weeks ago. It was great. I love John Mayer. And I was shooting the show. So I had a pass that allowed me to go anywhere. But, you know, I guess I could technically have gone on stage, but I would have never been able to work for John Mayer ever again. But, you know, after the show, my friend Thomas, who was the one who allowed me to do that, was like, hey, meet me stage left. We'll leave right as they're done. And me like not being super experienced with this venue or the size of venue or this crew or their setup, I went stage right and I wasn't allowed in the photo pit. So to go stage left, I was going around the back to hook around. Well, I went around back and I couldn't find my way. And I was like, fuck, like I'm going to look now. I'm starting to think I'm going to look like a dude who doesn't know where he is. I have a camera. People are going to start to ask questions like this gets bad real fast. So I went back and it was right as the band was finishing. So I was like, of course, they're exiting stage right. So I just sat there with my head down, like camera hidden, because the last thing I want anybody to think is that I'm like trying to like, take photos of this band while they're exiting stage.
Oh.
And it's pretty well known that like you can't cross the path the band is taking to exit while they're exiting because, well, that's just a big no-no. So then I got stuck stage right, had to wait for them to leave, run back through the front of the venue to stage left to catch my friend and leave. But it was just one of those times where I was like so aware of how I looked that I was almost more embarrassed because I was like, there's so much potential for me to like step in the wrong place and have security yell at me. And I was fuck, just got to stay out of the way. It's just like how it's crazy how like doing, I mean, granted the guy you dealt with obviously knew he was doing something wrong, but it is funny to me how you can do something kind of innocent on the road sometimes and really find yourself in a bad situation if you don't, you know, handle it correctly. Have you ever, it's crazy you do beat somebody up casually on the side of the street.
Well,
I didn't know I was having a physical person on. No, I'm just kidding.
I do not condone violence. I didn't like it. He was a psychopath. He tried to hurt my friend. And it was, I want to be very clear. It was a very light pop.
Yeah.
It was like a, you know,
it was a thing to end the confrontation, not lead to more. It was like, all right, and you're done. Not like, all right.
Like how some people pop a dog's nose. Not me. I'm a cat person.
I got my cat behind me. Hey, see my cat.
Absolutely. Aw. What a cute guy. Oh, those Isn't eyes.
He's 13. I love him.
My cat's 13, Sai. That's weird. No, he's probably outside sleeping.
Yeah, my cat's definitely was just sleeping, and now he's looking around like, why did you just pick me up?
Thanks.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, man. Well, on that note, I mean, like, that pretty much sums up the questions I had or that I came up with, and I feel like I have a much better understanding of, it's cool knowing where you came from. Like where you popped up to the, like, I know when I met you and I know a little bit of what we've done afterwards, but it was nice knowing like, oh, what a cool story. What a great first bus tour. That's insane.
Yeah. Right. It is insane. Oh, it's, man, not, yeah, not regular. That was weird.
We do have a question we ask everybody: shower shoes or no shower shoes? What's your vibe?
Are we talking, this is like my bus
anywhere, like you're showering in the venue, you're showering whatever, like you have shoes. Oh. Do you wear them or not?
I have and I have not.
Okay. It's just however you're feeling.
Yeah. Rest stop shower shoes.
Yeah.
I feel like. And you know, like if I'm in the basement of like a Minnesota venue, shower shoes.
Cause fuck Minnesota. Yes. Basements. That was so oddly specific. Is there a venue you're looking to call out or something?
I think I'm like combining a couple of venues, but they're just in Minnesota. Yeah. Just like a haunting basement that I'm just seeing.
Basements in general, showering in them is pretty scary. Like the Rave, have you ever showered at the Rave in Milwaukee, oh, Wisconsin? God,
yeah, it's awful.
Dude, that place is crazy. That's like one of my, I'm from Wisconsin, but that shower is like, there might be a prison in there as well.
Oh man. And then they got like the Dahmer Hotel, like across the,
oh,
street.
Yeah, the Ambassador. Dip.
You're, yeah, just like, this isn't the place.
Yeah, that's a creepy venue. If you ever go on tour to the Rave, Eagles Ballroom, a weird venue.
Yeah.
All right. Good thank luck. You so much, Chris. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was a good time.
Hell yeah.
Now we can meet up in real life and hang out.
Yeah. I'll hit you up when Polyphia comes through a non-LA show. I always feel bad hitting people in LA. But now that I know with your Polyphia, if I ever see a show, I'll be like, hey, let me come and not stand on your stage. I'm expecting a kiddie pool, however.
You got it. Yeah, absolutely.